Merry Christmas, family. How we doing? Welcome to the North Pole. It's ridiculous out there, man. It's so cold that like earlier today I was walking over from across the street, parked my car, and the wind started blowing and I began to cry. And it, like involuntarily, my eyes like watered and stuff, man. It was nuts. Have y'all had a good week? Everybody had a good week so far? Weather notwithstanding? So my family and I, we had a fantastic week. We actually, my wife and I planned this, we kind of as a surprise for our two daughters. We took them this past week. We did this whirlwind Christmas trip to New York City. We took our daughters to New York City for a few days and left on Monday. Got back late Thursday night. Had lots of great adventures. Can't wait to share them all with you. It was a very interesting place. We'll say that we had to leave on Thursday, right? We had to fly out on Thursday, come back home, and trying to make it before all the crazy cold weather came in. And it was one of those trips back where I actually thought it was never going to end. Like the experience, I don't know if you've ever had a trip like this, man, where just a leg of a trip where, and I should have known, I should have been clued in. The moment, like on Thursday, I went to the guy at the hotel behind the desk and I asked him, I said, "Hey man, I said, we got to fly out tonight. I said, how long does it take to get from here to JFK Airport on a Thursday afternoon?" And he thought about it for a second, and he goes, anywhere between an hour and a half day. And he was totally serious. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I'm like, well, we have to plan appropriately. We got to make sure our Uber has plenty of time. And so we scheduled an Uber. The Uber comes, throws our bags in the back, and he takes us out on the Long Island Expressway. Anybody ever been on Long Island Expressway? If you've ever been on Long Island Expressway, you know it is wrongly named. Because there's nothing express about this expressway, right? It shouldn't be named the Long Island Expressway. It ought to be named the Long Island I Hope You Packed a Lunch, right? The Long Island You're Going to Probably Be Here Till Jesus Returns, right? Because it was like bumper-to-bumper traffic, took forever. Finally, we get to JFK Airport. And you know what's amazing to me about our country? In the United States of America, we have all these airports scattered around everywhere that are just, they're a sight to behold, man. We have airports around America that are beautiful, that are high tech, that are incredibly clean, that are just like amusement parks. And then there's JFK Airport, which is none of those things. It's the opposite of all that, right? It's a hole. Like it's basically a porta potty with a runway. That's it, right? And they sell $8 bottles of water. I mean, it's just a horrible place. We're sitting there forever. Finally, we board the plane at 10 p.m. We just sort of sit there. We're not taking off. The pilot comes on the intercom and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I need to prepare you. We're going to be flying through some weather." This is what the pilot said. "We're going to be flying through some weather." And just so you know, whenever a pilot says we're going to be flying through weather, that's code for you better get right with Jesus because you might be seeing him pretty soon, right? And sure enough, we take off. The plane is shaking for the entirety of the flight. Matter of fact, it was shaking so bad. There was such bad turbulence. A lady in first class passed out. So they're calling for doctors. They're calling for nurses to try to help this lady. Finally, we end up landing in Atlanta, and there's an ambulance waiting at our gate to come help this woman. And we're all concerned. We're hoping she's okay. The problem is, the weird thing is, the door won't open. They're not opening the door to get the people on the plane. Come to find out what happens, man, the pilot comes on the intercom. He says, here's what he said. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is very embarrassing. He says, we don't have anybody to drive the jetway. We're going to have to call someone." And so we're sitting on the airplane for an hour just so they can get someone to come into the airport to drive the jetway. The little hallway thing connects the plane so you can get off the plane. So the paramedics can't get on the plane. The paramedics are standing outside looking at the plane like, please don't die, right? There's nothing they can do. They can't get on to help this lady. Finally, they take the lady off. We're able to get off the plane. And by the way, guess where we are when we get off the plane at 2 a.m. in Atlanta? We're at E18, also known as the gate furthest away from baggage claim. You can't get any farther. It's like a round trip to heaven, man. Forever away. We have to walk to the train. Finally, we get on the train at 2 a.m. Turns out the train, after we get on it, breaks down. So now we have to walk this round trip to heaven all the way to baggage claim to get our bags, right? And so we walk all the way to baggage claim. We get to the baggage claim area. There's only two planes in the entire airport. One's our plane in New York, another one like from Uzbekistan or something. And it says on the board, it says JFK Airport, New York, and it says Carousel 3. And I'm going, okay, our bags are at Carousel 3. I walk to Carousel 3. There's not a single suitcase on Carousel 3. There's no bags in Carousel 3. Turns out, and I didn't find this out until 20 minutes later, turns out Carousel 3 at the Atlanta airport actually means Carousel 9, right? So I have to track our bags down on Carousel 9 at the end of the baggage claim. I get our bags and I say to our girls, it's freezing cold outside, right? This Arctic bazooka blast, whatever the media is calling it, is coming in. And I said to my wife and girls, I said, listen, y'all just stay here. It's 2 a.m. I'll run out to the car. I'll get the car, I'll come back, and I'll pick you and the bags up. And so I ran out to the parking lot into section double Z where we were in the Atlanta airport, and I get in the car, and I'm like, thank God I'm in the car, we can go home now. And I can't find the ticket to get out of the parking lot. This was our Thursday night, right? And I'm thinking to myself, man, this is never going to end. Like, I just want to be home, right? Like, when's this going to be over? Now, here's a question I want to ask you real quick. I want you to think about this. Have you ever been in a situation where you were waiting for something, or you were anticipating something, and it just felt kind of like you were waiting forever, like you were thinking, when is this wait ever going to end? When am I ever going to stop having to anticipate this? When am I going to get this thing that I'm anticipating for? You know what I'm talking about? Like, it seemed like it was just taking forever. Just so you know, man, listen, this is why, I want you to get this. This is why Christmas is such an incredible day, particularly for those who know Jesus, love Jesus, follow Jesus, worship Jesus, whose lives have been changed by Jesus. Because follow this, family, get this. Christmas is a day when we get to celebrate the fact that our incredible, amazing God has fulfilled the greatest promise ever made. That's what Christmas is about, man. It's a day when we get to celebrate, throw a huge, massive party because the wait is over. God has fulfilled this promise. What's the promise? Well, we read about this promise in the book of Isaiah. So here's what I mean. So 2,700 years ago, on the other side of the planet, there were these people living around the Middle East, and they were struggling, man. They were living in a world that was dark, much like we do, a world that was dark, disappointing, lots of violence and struggles and sin. The curse of sin was real. And 700 years before the birth of Jesus, some of y'all maybe know this if you read the Bible, that the nation of Israel was actually split up into two kingdoms, right? So you had the northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom of Judah, and there came this moment where the northern kingdom of Israel, along with a nation called Syria, began to attack the southern kingdom of Judah. And the reason they were attacking the southern kingdom of Judah is because those two nations were being attacked by another nation called Assyria, and they started to pick on little Judah, going, man, maybe if we can conquer Judah, they can join us, and we'll have a better shot at defeating Assyria as they're trying to kill all of us. In other words, family, here's the point. The world 2,700 years ago was dark and hard and confusing and sinful. How many of y'all agree that that's pretty much the world we still live in? Amen? World's dark, it's sinful, it's hard, it's a struggle bus, man. Like bad things happen, and oftentimes we wonder what is going on. Seems like the world's on fire. Well, the same thing was happening 2,700 years ago, and the people of Judah, along with their king, this guy named Ahaz, are suffering, and they're hurting, and they feel hopeless, and they're confused, and in the midst, here's what I want you to get, in the midst of that darkness, in the midst of that struggle, in the midst of that suffering, God speaks to the prophet Isaiah. And here's what he says. We'll read this. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 10 says this. It says, again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. He's the king. Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Watch this. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is fascinating. In other words, family, God speaks to the king of Judah in the midst of this suffering, in the midst of this dark world, and he declares that the ultimate remedy for all of the darkness and all of the suffering in the world, the ultimate remedy for all that stuff is that a virgin will give birth to a baby. That's going to be the answer to pain, to suffering, to sin, to the curse, to darkness. But wait, that's not all, because he goes on to say this in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. God's like, listen, there's something someday amazing that's going to happen in this podunk area known as Galilee. Flyover country that nobody knows about. And something incredible is going to happen in Galilee. Well, what is it? Well, he tells us. He says, the people who walked in darkness, that's us, by the way, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. In other words, he's like, hey, man, here's what's going to happen. God's like, listen, one day in this random area of Galilee, a light is going to come out of that place that's going to shine in this dark world of suffering and sin. And the question we ought to be asking is, well, who is this light? Pray tell, what is this light? What is this light that's going to come from Galilee? Well, he tells us in verse 6, and here's where we're going to camp out. He says, for to us, on the count of three, everybody say us. 1, 2, 3. Hang on to that. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Translation, family. In other words, Isaiah's saying this. Isaiah's saying, listen, this light that's going to show up and finally put an end to all pain and all suffering and all darkness and all sin, this light is a baby. It's a baby. It's not a warrior. It's not a million tanks. It's not a mighty army. It's not a nuclear bomb. It's a baby. But here's the kicker. It's not just your average, ordinary, typical baby. It's a very unique baby, very exclusive baby. Pay very close attention to what we're told about this baby. In verse 6 again, first thing it says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. In the Hebrew, this actually translates to this. It means a wonder of a counselor. And here's what's fascinating. It's actually that Hebrew word is the closest word the Hebrew language has for our word in English, supernatural. What we're being told here, what we're being told is, hey, listen, a light is going to come out of Galilee. A baby is going to be the answer to all the world's issues and problems and brokenness and sin and the answer to the curse. And it's not just any baby, it's a supernatural baby. It's different. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor, and then also his name should be called Mighty God. And this would have been really confusing to people 700 years before Jesus is born, going, oh, what is it? Lord, I don't get it. Lord, I don't understand. How can a baby be God? I don't get it, Lord. How can a baby be God? And God's like, trust me, the baby's going to be God. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Listen to this, Everlasting Father. And this speaks to the way that this baby's going to relate to you and relate to me. Much like a really, really good father, he's going to lead us. He's going to protect us. He's going to instruct us. He's going to correct us when we need correction. He's going to provide for us. He's going to love us. And then on top of all that, it says his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and then get this, the Prince of Peace. And why exactly can Jesus be called the Prince of Peace? Well, it's because as a result of the perfect life of Jesus and his atoning death on a cross for you and for me, we can have peace with a holy God. And that's good news. Sinners like us can have peace with God through what Christ has accomplished. See, family, here's the point. Isaiah's powerful message to all of us in here tonight is this. Don't miss this. Isaiah's saying, listen, man, I get it. I get it. This world's broken. I get it. The world's disappointing. I get it. Sometimes it seems like the whole world's on fire and there's lots of suffering and lots of pain. But I'm telling you right now, here's the good news. Jesus Christ is our light in a dark and broken world. Amen. He's the light. And that's why we celebrate. And that's why we gather together. And that's why we sing and we make noise. And that's why every Sunday up in here, we're throwing a party for Jesus and we're declaring how good he is. Because the good news is we've been made right with a holy God through what Christ has accomplished. Now here's the thing about Christmas. You know, oftentimes for us, Christmas is about, we look back at Jesus become, you know, Jesus as a baby. That's what Christmas is all about. Jesus is a baby. And don't get me wrong, we should be incredibly grateful that God loved us enough to come to us as a baby. But I'm telling you right now, God loved us so much, he didn't stay a baby. Jesus grows up. The scriptures tell us he grew in wisdom. He grew in stature and favor with God and with men. He became an adult. He lived a perfect life of obedience to God's commands, God the Father's commands, and he willingly laid down his life on a cross for you and for me. And guess what, family? Here's the really good news. If God is able to keep his promise to send this baby Jesus to do something about our sin problem, I can promise you God is able to keep his promise. That Christ is coming back again. He's going to be a returning king, victorious over all. He's going to rule and he's going to reign forever with righteousness. This is what I love, man. This is what I love. I love me some Revelation 19, man. Some of y'all are like, ooh, it's about to get weird. No, we're way past weird. Revelation chapter 19. The Apostle John gets a glimpse of the return of Christ. Because you got to understand, Christmas is not just about looking back on the first coming of Jesus. It's also about those of us who know Jesus anticipating the second coming of Jesus. And in Revelation chapter 19, the Apostle John gets a glimpse of what this is going to be like at the return of our King Jesus when he finally comes back for his people, for his church. And it says this as he describes it. Here's what John saw. Here's the glimpse that John saw of what's going to happen when Christ returns. It says in Revelation 19, verse 11, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, the white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, many crowns, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And for years, I have wanted at my house, on my lawn, to put that up as my Christmas decoration." Can you imagine? You keep your nativity scene. That's all fine and good, but no. You definitely keep your inflatable Grinch. I don't want that. You know what I want on my lawn? Christmas, December? I'm going to do it one year, man. A gigantic white horse. Jesus sitting on the back of it, eyes with real fire flaming, a sword coming out of his mouth while he holds a rod of iron, and he's wearing a robe dipped in blood with a tattoo on his thigh that says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords in my front yard. Merry Christmas, kids. I'll get a fine by the HOA. It'd be totally worth it. Totally worth it. That's our coming King. So Christmas is not just about looking back. It's also about looking forward. And for those of us who know Jesus, love Jesus, follow Jesus, this is an incredible time, incredible celebration. And for those of you who never bowed the knee to Jesus, you never trust in Jesus as your Savior, you need to. Today's the day of salvation. You need to trust Jesus. You know why? Because he is the light that came out of Galilee. John chapter 8, Jesus says this. He's going to be born as a baby. He's going to grow up. And in John chapter 8, he's going to say to a bunch of religious leaders, a bunch of Pharisees, he's going to say this, caused quite a stir. He says, "I am the light of the world. And if anyone walks in me, he will not dwell in darkness, but he will have the light of life." What does light always do? Light always shines on things and it makes the room make sense. It makes the world make sense. What we do without the sun, what we do without lamps, it makes everything make sense. Your life will never make sense apart from Jesus. You're not a random mammal. You're not just an animal who happens to be here. You were created on purpose by God who loves you. You're created in the image and likeness of God. You have dignity, you have worth, you have value. And God wasn't okay with the fact that you were born in sin as a result of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. He wasn't okay with that. So he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to do what you could never do, to make you right with a holy God. And he's the light. Would you trust him today? So I'm going to pray in just a second. Some of you parents with young kids are like, thank God. I'm going to pray in just a second. I'm going to take this candle, and I'm going to light it from the Christ candle, and all around this room, ushers are going to come down and help me. The light's just going to spread to candles in this room. And I want you to understand, we don't just do this because we do this. We don't just do it because it's some ritual we do every Christmas Eve. Here's why we do this. As the light spreads from the Christ candle, we're reminded of the fact that Jesus Christ is the reason for Christmas. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and it's symbolic, right? As the light spreads around this room, it's symbolic of the fact that for 2,000 years now, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been spreading around planet Earth until finally, by God's grace, somehow, some way, it actually reached us. Thanks be to God, man. Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you for this day. Thank you for an opportunity to praise you, to make much of you. Christmas is not about us. It's about you, Jesus. Every day is about you. It's all about Jesus, only about Jesus, always about Jesus. Remind us of that tonight. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to worship you, to sing praises to your name. Lord, we love you. I pray if anyone in here tonight does not know you, that tonight would be the night they receive the greatest gift ever given to anyone. And that's the gift of salvation through Christ. We love you, Lord, and I pray it all through your name. Amen.